In the middle of December, 1909, someone had won a prize for sailing in a dirigible from St. Cyr to the Eiffel Tower and back. St. Cyr is several miles from Paris. Huntsville, Alla, and Chattanooga, Tennessee, are 75 miles apart. An association between the planet Venus and mysterious visitors either illumines or haunts our data. In the New York Tribune, January 29, 1910, it is said that a luminous object, thought to be Winnecke's comet, had been seen, January 28, near Venus, reported from the Manila Observatory. I have another datum that perhaps belongs to the series of events. Every night, from the 14th to the 23rd of December, 1909, if we accept the account from Marlborough, a luminous object was seen traveling, or exploring, in the sky of New England. Certainly enough, it was no secret airship of this earth, unless its navigator went to extremes with the notion that the best way to keep a secret is to announce it with red lights and a searchlight. However, our acceptance depends upon general data as to the development of terrestrial aeronautics. But upon the night of December 24, the object was not seen in New England, and it may have been traveling or exploring somewhere else. Night of the 24th, Venus in the southwest in the early hours of the evening. In the English Mechanic, 104-71, a correspondent, who signs himself Rigel, writes that, upon December 24, at 8:30 o'clock in the evening, he saw a luminous object appear above the northeastern horizon and slowly move southward, until 8:50 o'clock, then turning around, retracing, and disappearing whence it came, at 9:02. The correspondent is James Ferguson, Ross Bryan, Limerick, Ireland. He writes frequently upon astronomical and meteorological subjects, and is still contributing to the somewhat enlightened columns of the English Mechanic. November 19, 1912 Explosive sounds reported from Sunning Hill, Berkshire. No earthquake was recorded at the Kew Observatory, and, in the opinion of W. F. Denning, Nature, 9-363, 417, the explosion was in the sky. It was a terrific explosion, according to the Westminster Gazette, November 19. There was either one great explosion that rumbled and echoed for 5 minutes, or there were repeated detonations, resembling cannonading like a tremendous discharge of big guns, according to reports from Abingdon, Lewis, and Epsom. Sunning Hill is about 10 miles from Reading, and Abingdon is near Reading, but the sound was heard in London, and down by the English Channel, and even in the island of Alderney. In the Gazette, November 28, Sir George Fordham, H.G. Fordham, writes that, in his opinion, it was an explosion in the sky. He says the phenomena of Ayers Hawk never have, I believe, been very fully investigated. His admissions and his omissions remain the same as they have been since occurrences of the year 1889. He does not mention that, according to Philip T. Kenway, of Hambledon, near Godalming, about 30 miles southeast of Reading, the sounds were heard again the next day, from 1:45 to 2 p.m. Mr. Kenway thinks that there had been big gun firing at Portsmouth, West Gaz, November 21. In the London Standard, a correspondent, writing from Dorking, say that the phenomena of the 19th were like concussions from cannonading at regular intervals, at quick intervals, lasting some seconds each time, 4-5 minutes, by the clock. It develops that Reading was the center over which the detonations occurred. In the Westminster Gazette, November 30, it is said that the shocks had been felt in Reading, upon the 19th, 20th, and 21st. Only from Reading have I record of phenomena upon the 21st. Mr. H. L. Hawkins, lecturer in geology, of the Reading University, writes that according to his investigations there had been no gun firing in England, to which the detonations could be attributed. He says that Fordham's explanation was in accord with his own investigations, or that the detonations had occurred in the sky. He writes that, inasmuch as the detonations had occurred upon 3 successive days, a shower of meteors, of long duration, would have to be supposed. How he ever visualized that unerring shower, striking one point over this earth's surface, and nowhere else, day after day, if this earth be a rotating and revolving body, I cannot see. If he should say that by coincidence this repetition could occur, then by what coincidence of coincidences could the same repetitions have occurred in this same local sky, centering around Reading, 7 years before? The indications are that this earth is stationary, no matter how unreasonable that may sound. In the Westminster Gazette, December 9, W.F. Denning writes that without doubt the phenomena were meteoric explosions. But he alludes to the earthquake and strange noises that were heard upon the 19th. He does not mention the detonations that were heard upon the following days. Not one of these writers mentions the sounds that were heard in Reading, in November, 1905. London Standard, November 23, 1912 that, according to Lieutenant Col. Truman, of Reading, the sounds had been heard at Reading, at 9 a.m., upon the 19th, 1:45 p.m., the 20th, 3:30 p.m., the 21st. 35. Unknown aircraft over Dover. According to the Dover correspondent to the London Times, January 6, 1913, something had been seen, over Dover, heading from the sea. In the London Standard, January 24, 1913, it is said that, upon the morning of January 4, an unknown airship had been seen, over Dover, and that, about the same time, the lights of an airship had been seen over the Bristol Channel. These places are several hundred miles apart. London Times, January 21 report by Capt. Lindsay, Chief Constable of Glamorganshire, that, about 5 o'clock, in the afternoon of January 17, he saw an object in the sky of Cardiff, Wales. He says that he called the attention of a bystander, who agreed with him that it was a large object. It was much larger than the Willows airship, and left in its trail a dense smoke. It disappeared quickly. The next day, according to the Times, there were other reports, people in Cardiff saw something that was lighted or that carried lights, moving rapidly in the sky. In the Times, of the 28th, it is said that an airship that carried a brilliant light had been seen in Liverpool. It is stated at the Liverpool Aviation School that none of the airmen had been out on Saturday night. Dispatches from town after town a traveling thing in the sky, carrying a light, and also a searchlight that swept the ground. It is said that a vessel, of which the outlines had been clearly seen, had appeared in the sky of Cardiff, Newport, Neath, and other places in Wales. In the Standard, January 31st, is published a list of cities where the object had been seen. Here a writer tries to conclude that some foreign airship had made half a dozen visits to England and Wales, or had come once, remaining 3 weeks, but he gives up the attempt, thinking that nothing could have reached England and have sailed away half a dozen times without being seen to cross the coast, thinking that the idea of anything having made one journey, and remaining 3 weeks in the air deserved no consideration. If the unknown object did carry something like a searchlight, an idea of its powers is given in an account in the Cardiff Evening Express, January 25, 1913. Last evening brilliant lights were seen, sweeping skyward, and now, this evening, the lights grow bolder. Streets and houses in the locality of Totterdown were suddenly illuminated by a brilliant, piercing light, which, sweeping upward, gave many spectators a fine view of the hills beyond. In the Express, February 6, is a report upon this light like a searchlight, and the object that flashed it, by the police of Gila Valley. Also there is an account, by a police sergeant, of a luminous thing that was for a while stationary in the sky, and then moved away. Still does the conventional explanation, or suggestion, survive. It is said that members of the staff of the Evening Express had gone to the roof of the newspaper building, but had seen only the planet Venus, which was brilliant at this time. Then writes a correspondent, to the Express, that the object could not have been Venus, because he had seen it traveling at a rate of 20 or 30 miles an hour, and had heard sounds from it. Someone else writes that not possibly could the thing be Venus, he had seen it as a bright red light, going very fast. Still someone else says that he had seen the seeming vessel upon the 5th of February, and that it had suddenly disappeared. There is a hiatus. Between the 5th and the 21st of February, nothing like an airship was seen in the sky of England and Wales. If we can find that somewhere else something similar was seen in the sky, in this period, one supposes that it was the same object, exploring or maneuvering somewhere else. It seems, however, that there were several of these objects, because of simultaneous observations at places far apart. If we can find that, during the absence from England and Wales, similar objects were seen somewhere else, a great deal of what we try to think upon the subject will depend upon how far from Great Britain they were seen. It seems incredible that the planet Venus should deceive thousands of Britons, up to the 5th of February, and stop her deceptions abruptly upon that date, and then abruptly resume deceptions upon the 21st, in places at a distance apart. These circumstances oppose the idea of collective hallucinations, by which some writers in the newspapers try to explain. If they were hallucinations, the hallucinations renewed collectively, upon the 21st, in towns 100 miles apart. One extraordinary association is that all appearances, except the first, were in the hours of visibility of Venus, then an evening star. Upon the night of the 21st, a luminous object was reported from towns in Yorkshire and from towns in Warwickshire, two regions about 100 miles apart, about 10 p.m. All former attempts to explain had been abandoned, and the general supposition was that German airships were maneuvering over England. But not a thing had been seen to cross the coast of England, though guards were patrolling the coasts, especially commissioned to watch for foreign airships. Sailors in the North Sea, and people in Holland and Belgium had seen nothing that could be thought a German airship sailing to or from England. A writer in Flight takes up as especially mysterious the appearance far inland, in Warwickshire. Then came reports from Portsmouth, Ipswich, Hornsea, and Hull, but, one notes, no more, at this time, from Wales. Also in Ipswich, which is more than 100 miles from the towns in Warwickshire, and more than 100 miles from the Yorkshire towns, a luminous object was seen upon the night of the 21st. Ipswich Evening Star, February 25, something that carried a searchlight that had been seen upon the nights of the 21st and 24th, moving in various directions, and then dashing off at lightning speed that, at Hunstanton, had been seen three bright lights traveling from the eastern sky, remaining in sight 30 minutes, stationary, or hovering over the town, and then disappearing in the northwest. Portsmouth Evening News, February 25, that soon after 8 p.m., evening of the 24th, had been seen a very bright light, appearing and disappearing, remaining over Portsmouth about 1 hour, and then moving away. Portsmouth and Ipswich are about 120 miles apart. In the London newspapers, it is said that, upon the evening of the 25th, crowds stood in the streets of Hull, watching something in the sky, the lights of which were easily distinguishable. Hull is about 190 miles northeast of Portsmouth. Hull Daily Mail, February 26, that a crowd had watched a light high in the air. It is said that the light had been stationary for almost half an hour and had then shot away northward. In the Times, February 28, are published reports upon the clear outlines of an airship, which was carrying a dazzling searchlight, from Portland, Bercleaves, St. Albans Head, Papelwich, and the Orkneys. The last account, after a long interval, that I know of, is another report from Capt. Lindsay, that, about 9 o'clock, evening of April 8, he and many other persons had seen, over Cardiff, something that carried a brilliant light and travelled at a rate of 60 or 70 miles an hour.